Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now that it is really winter, you might be tempted to curl up on the couch with your trusty friend Netflix, but this is still New York, and if you can muster the energy and bundle yourself up in the puffy coat and part with some money, okay, it's not as cheap as Netflix, you can see some great live comedy this winter, and boy, do we need it with everything that's going on. Here with me now to tell you what's worth a night out in the winter is Jason Zinnemann, the New York Times On Comedy columnist and author of the forthcoming book, Letterman, The Last Giant of Late Night. Hi, Jason. Welcome to WNYC.
Great to be here.
So let me start with a clip. This is Chris Gethard. You've only got a few more chances to see his show, Career Suicide, which he made with the comedy powerhouse Judd Apatow. Here's a clip of the two of them. It's about a minute long. On a Skype call, when the germ of the idea for Chris Gethard's show came about, Judd speaks first.
You know, this whole peak television thing, anytime I mention something, somebody gives me a show with a green light, yeah. You know, and the next thing you know, you got this like massive slate and you have no time for yourself. I haven't gotten to the Hawaii condo at all this year.
I'm in a pretty bad spot too, yeah. I just got cut out of the new Ghostbusters. I got cut from The Dictator as well.
Really?
I got cut from Iron Man 3.
It seems like a lot of the best people in town are cutting you out. So, I mean, all it takes is for one person not to cut you out for things to start falling together. I got my daughter out of several films, and she was not happy about it.
We all got problems, man.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's weird to fly your kids private if you're not on the plane with them? Just, like, get them back from somewhere.
I'm just going to put this on the table very respectfully, if you don't mind. But I think our problems are maybe like a little different. I am a guy who doesn't really have much going on. Like, everyone I know has gotten successful, and I'm still hanging on in New York. And I see a shrink, and she's kind of nuts. And for a while, I wasn't seeing a shrink, but I kept falling into these very bad spots where I was putting myself in danger. And sure, I can look back on it, and some of them are funny now. But, you know, I just kind of fight every day to keep my head on straight and keep myself healthy.
That actually sounds like a TV show.
Yeah.
All right. So
every comic's dream is to hear that from Judd Apatow.
That's right. Chris Gethard, who I think, you know, I was reading from my script before, and I think I just stated the two syllables of his name separately. So that could be, you know, somebody could riff on that themselves. But it's Gethard. And quoting from his website, the show is about suicide, depression, alcoholism, and all the other funniest parts of life. Ah, yes, the old comedy trifecta of suicide, depression, and alcoholism. Is that what comedy is coming to in this era?
It has, actually. I was just thinking about this. There's been a lot of comedy this year about death and suicide. Louis's recent hour, he does some good stuff on suicide as well. It's not as fleshed out as Chris Gethard's show. But if you look at, like, Patton Oswalt's, you know, doing comp, turning the death of his wife into comedy. There's several other examples. I mean, there's comedy is arguably darker in mainstream forms than it's ever been. And in this case, you see another trend, which is that comedy is increasingly co-opting theater. You know, he's moving into the theater space and putting on something that's sort of can look like a one-man show, an autobiographical one-man show, but with jokes.
And his show, we should say, runs at the Lynn Redgrave Theater on Bleecker Street through January 8th. Two of your favorite young comics, I see, will be at Joe's Pub, January 31st through February 3rd, John Early and Kate Berlant. Is that it?
I don't know. Right.
John Early is currently starting on the TBS show Search Party. What do you like about him?
John Early has stolen more scenes and cameos this year than almost anyone I can think of. I mean, he was on Broad City, Difficult People, Girls, and Search Party is probably his biggest part. And he's both of these artists are both incredibly talented kind of hybrids who are stand-up. They were, in Early's case, he sings. So his shows have a feeling of kind of cabaret at times. And Kate Berlant is a completely, I mean, there's nothing else like her. She sort of free associates and is kind of, she sort of pushes into experimental theater. And what they share is this absolute love of the silly. And so to get, and you know, in a time when people are feeling a little down or depressed, sometimes the best medicine is something absurd and surreal, and that's them.
And she's so unusual that we pulled a clip, partly because she is hard to categorize. I read a piece where you said she doesn't really tell jokes, and that's part of her experimental comedy genre. So here is about a minute of Kate Burlett.
Do you guys steal? Who steals? So one person said no, so it's a coward right here somewhere. No one steals, just a room full of nerds. I steal in a very specific way. I believe 100% that women have the right to steal cosmetics. Completely. Thank you. Absolutely. The situation is women sometimes upon birth, are forced into an economy. You have to pay for your own subjectivity constantly, right? So if you don't have certain creams, powders, lotions, the state won't recognize you. You can't get a job, right? It's really, it's very violent, kind of the system. So I've taken to over the years just gradually stealing from, and by the way, I'm not talking about small ma and pa shops. Who here is a small business owner? Just so I know, that's what I thought, so relax. But I'm talking about Sephora, right? See me at really big chains, right? Those kind of are an anchor for me. For example, the red lipstick I'm wearing tonight, hey. It's called Scarlet Empress, and it costs $30 if you pay for it. And I won't.
Huh. Good example of Kate Burlett.
Yes, yes. I mean, there's always a moment in her, one of her monologues, where this kind of hyper-articulate intellectual voice turns into total nonsense and non sequitur. And that, it's sort of the, I mean, I would argue she doesn't write conventional jokes, and a lot of her work is improvisational, but there is that moment when it turns into nonsense is like a punchline for her.
And so to Chris Cathard's suicide, depression, and alcoholism as comedy themes, we can now add theft.
True.
Leslie Jones in the current cast of Saturday Night Live, of course, and she was in the Ghostbusters reboot from earlier this year, also famous for being harassed online by somebody associated with Breitbart. She's going to be at Caroline's February 23rd and 24th, so that looks ahead a little more. I read that Chris Rock told the Saturday Night Live executive producer, Lorne Michaels, that Leslie Jones is the funniest woman he knows.
Yeah, I mean, Leslie Jones joined Saturday Night Live after this controversy about Saturday Night Live not hiring enough black women.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, what is also very unusual about her is that she is older than most of the new Saturday Night Live cast members. And she's in her late 40s. And she had a long stand-up career before. And so what's exciting about this Caroline show is that she's kind of had a breakout now with Ghostbusters and SNL, where she's, you know, a ferociously charismatic performer. But her home, her original, where she made her bones, was in stand-up. And so she's doing that at Caroline's. And she's I think there's a lot of advantages to casting people on SNL who have that kind of experience.
Speaking of Chris Rock, he's heading out on his first world tour in 9 years, I see, but he won't be in our area until the end of March when he performs at a charity benefit. That's March 28th with a bunch of comedy all-stars, John Oliver, Tracy Morgan, Jerry Seinfeld, Leslie Jones. That'll be a steep ticket price, I'm sure. Where is that? What is it? Do you know?
That, I think it's a benefit. I would not be surprised if he, and I have no proof of this, but if he announces a Madison Square Garden date. He has a tour. It starts in February, and it goes on for 4 months. And he starts in North Carolina and goes all over the country. And I would say the most conspicuous absence in stand-up comedy over most of the last decade has been the Chris Rock stand-up special. He's one of our greatest stand-ups, probably our greatest political stand-up.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had a special in 9 years. The last one was when during the Obama campaign, Bush was in office. So what's he going to say about Trump? What's he going to say about Black Lives Matter? You know, I was recently watching his last special, and he has this one joke about McCain, which stood out for me, where he said, you know, he's talking about people say he's a war hero. He goes, he's a war hero that got captured. I don't want to lose the vote for expletive who got captured. I want to vote for the guy who got away. And it struck me because Trump said, of course, the exact same thing, which says something about how Chris Rock is one of the most politically trenchant comics out there, but he's unpredictable politically.
All right. We'll see if he schedules that New York date. And while we're on the subject of comedy superstars, Jerry Seinfeld, I see, is performing for a few nights at the Beacon Theater. It's the Upper West Side Beacon Theater in January, February, and March. I read a review of a Seinfeld performance in Chicago last week that called it somewhat stale. Is he worth a steep ticket price still?
I think he is. I mean, that was an interesting review. I think that was interesting because the critic was taking issue with the fact that he uses jokes that has had for, you know, for years and decades. And today, the kind of au courant thing is to do what Louis and George Carlin did, which was to throw away your material and start again after you do it. But Seinfeld, you know, he's become like the Billy Joel of comedy. You know, he's still has this mass appeal. He's reliably funny. And he plays the old hits. If anything, how he's changed, his stand-up has changed since the days of his show is, you know, he has more stuff about fatherhood now. He's not the cutting edge. He's not Cape Berlant, but he is still top of his game, really funny.
Somebody told me, by the way, that Billy Joel plays the Garden once a month and will continue to do so until one of his shows doesn't sell out. You know that to be true?
I didn't know the point about it, that not selling out. I've seen one of those shows, and he puts on, I mean, he plays those grit songs terrifically, and the audience loves him, and I can't see it not selling out. I mean, Billy Joel and Seinfeld are in New York institutions now.
We just have about a minute left. Let me get one or two more in here on our comedy preview. Big J Okerson. Now, my producer tried to find a clip to play of him, but everything we found would have required so many bleeps, it would have been incomprehensible. Does that sound about right?
That's exactly right. I think I once called him in the Times, which he was not easy to write about in the Times, the poet laureate of the penis joke. He's you know, as clean as Jerry Seinfeld is, he is as dirty, but I think he's also a really gifted comic who's also one of the best out there at crowd work. You know, you'll see this in a lot of stand-up where someone will say, where are you from? You know, tell me, what do you do? And they use it as a transition. Well, Big J. Okerson turns those conversations into the meat of the joke, and he creates incredibly freewheeling, wonderful comedy out of that.
And in our last few seconds, maybe we should remind everybody that if you can't get tickets to one of the shows of the big comedians that we've been talking about, there are plenty of places to see great comedy every single night here in the city, including some pretty big names who might show up unadvertised at relatively cheap ticket prices. What are some of the clubs?
Comedy Cellar is probably the most famous. The Stand is a great place to go. You could go to UCB to see Whiplash on Monday nights. And these are all relatively cheap, and you never know who's going to show up.
Is there a trick to finding out if Louis C.K. or Seinfeld or whoever might do a surprise set at a given small club on a given night that's unannounced?
One trick is if they have a big show, if Louis's got a Madison Square Garden, if he's going to host Saturday Night Live the next day, you can count on the night before or the week before he's out in clubs. So that increases your chance a little bit.
Jason Zinnemann, the New York Times On Comedy columnist and the author of the forthcoming book, Letterman, The Last Giant of Late Night. Come back and talk to us when the book comes out, okay?
I'd love to.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.